Hi, folks, and welcome back to The Diner. I'm James Lilix, and I'm back here at the long boomerang pattern four-mic counter. The Diner is where it always was, right on old Highway 23. It's a little different, frankly. The air's a little musty. It hasn't been aired out in a while. Some of the people who I wish were here aren't. And the nickel-plated rotary phone by the door has an out-of-order sign, so I can't take any calls. And for that matter, the Crosley television set up in the corner of the joint isn't working either, so what am I going to do? Well, luckily, the Diner radio works. That's the radio that can find any station, any decade, any show, any era on demand. It's from the same people who built the radios for Gilligan's Island and other television shows. It's a plot point, frankly, is the name of it. I almost hesitate to say the name, because this cheap microphone I have here is incapable of taking any sort of plosive without distorting it. But we'll have to deal with that tonight. What I thought I would do, and I'm just stopping by here for a cup of coffee and to open this place up and look around again, what I thought I would do is give you some openings from the television show Suspense!
Suspense!
Did I say television show? I did, didn't I? Of course I meant radio show. Suspense was a CBS radio show that ran from about 1942 until, oh, I don't know, about 1999. It just seems like it went forever and ever, and they made a million episodes. It started out as your drawing room murder sort of thing, very genteel, and then went to more macabre episodes. The budgets got large, the stars got greater. In the 50s, it seems to have devolved into an unsatisfying crime drama. But in 1942, this is the second episode, well, this was the beginning of a show that would later go on to define radio mysteries.
The Columbia Network takes pleasure in bringing you Suspense. Suspense, a new series of programs with one strict purpose in view, your entertainment. Each week at this time, CBS sets aside 30 minutes to excite you, to mystify you, and on occasion to horrify you with a catalog of the world's great thrillers, dramas from the stage and screen, from fiction and radio, dramas that bring you Suspense.
Well, you can really feel your blood quicken, can't you? The CBS broadcasting system brings you Suspense! Well, they took that one back to the shop, retooled it, and later in 1942 came up with a beginning that was a little bit moodier.
The Columbia Network takes pleasure in bringing you Suspense. Suspense. Stories from the world's great literature of pure excitement. A new series frankly dedicated to your horrification and entertainment. Week by week, from the pick of new material, from the pages of best-selling novels, from the theater of Broadway and London, and the sound stages of Hollywood, will parade the most remarkable figures ever known. CBS gives you Suspense.
Oh, scare me again. Well, it's nice, but it's very wordy. I have the feeling that around this time, somebody came up with a much more frightening introduction on another network. And so to respond to this, and perhaps hop on the bandwagon of very scary introductions, in 1943, CBS changed the introduction to Suspense again. And this is what they came up with. I'm sorry, that's just funny. And everyone's playing in slow motion as though their hands have been coated with starch and the entire studio has been filled with cold molasses. There's always a bassoon or a cello dying a slow, painful death in the background. But that theme, actually, is quite remarkable. First of all, it sets the tone very nicely. It's very recognizable. Those opening tubular bell notes tell you exactly what you're listening to. It was composed by Bernard Herrmann, who conducted and composed so many scores over the year, from Psycho to Taxi Driver, but that's another show. In any case, in 1943, they decided the whole suspense thing wasn't working either, and they sent it back to the shop once more and came up with a character who would introduce the show. And, well, you'll meet the character here in just a second. And no, it's not Johnny Cash.
Suspense. This is the Man in Black, here again to introduce Columbia's program, Suspense. With us in Hollywood tonight as star is Mr. Gene Lockhart, whose remarkable characterizations on the screen have won him a notable following with American audiences. It is with rueful satisfaction, but with satisfaction nonetheless, that the genial Mr. Lockhart contemplates his reputation. Because of his cinematic misdoings, his numberless treacheries, betrayals, and cowardly villainies, he is one of the most hated men in the country today. Our story this evening by John Shaw is called Statement of Employee Henry Wilson. And so with the performance of Gene Lockhart, as he relates and relives the events of the climactic moment in Henry Wilson's life, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
You get the feeling they were paid by the word, don't you? Well, there you met our new introducer, our new announcer, the Man in Black. He did nothing but just show up and announce that he was a man in black. And subsequent research led me to a rather dispiriting discovery. The Man in Black was played by the actor who played Mr. Wilson on the Dennis the Menace shows, who really did not personify the sort of suspense persona that I'd come to think. But anyway, there he was. And you have to know that he wore black to the studio. I mean, wouldn't you? If your job was to be the Man in Black, you'd wear black on the job, just so people could somehow sense the blackness you'd brought to the job. Well, that was 1943. Let's move along to 1946 and see how things were going in the post-war suspense years.
Roma Wine, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Roma Wines present Suspense. Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Mr. Paul Henry, the star of The Angel of Death, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear.
Yes, Suspense now has a sponsor, and it's Roma Wines. Roma is one of the two big sponsors in the 40s. Autolite Auto Supplies was the other. Autolite didn't really seem to work very well with Suspense because the commercials were just so gosh darn cheerful. Roma worked better because the ads always began with the suggestion that you pour yourself a nice big glass of booze before you sit down and listen to Suspense. And, you know, who could really argue with them? Before we get to 1947 to see exactly how the Roma commercials turned into a spelling lesson, let's take a break for a word from our sponsor.
You know, there are many cigarette brands to choose from. But people who put the tobacco first choose Rothman's Crown Filter. Because with Crown Filter, you enjoy the better taste of real Rothman's tobacco. There are gifts, as well as special privileges. But even if you don't bother about coupons, buy a packet of Crown Filter and enjoy the taste of Rothman's better tobacco. Crown Filter are made for people who put the tobacco first.
And we're back. We'll close here with a couple of 1940s introductions, the first again from Roma, and you can hear here how Roma Wines completely ruins any sort of suspenseful atmosphere you've accumulated on your own by throwing a blizzard of letters at you and expecting you to remember everything, when of course you can't because you've already had a nice big glass of Roma Wine before the show started. From 1947, a Roma Wines introduction to Suspense.
Suspense! In America's most discriminating homes and clubs, where dining and entertaining is the last word in luxury, the first word in wines is C-R-E-S-T-A. B-L-A-N-C-A. Cresta Blanca. Cresta Blanca. Yes, Cresta Blanca California wines bring gracious luxury to your table from the finest of the vines. When you pour superb Cresta Blanca Burgundy, Sauterne, or any Cresta Blanca table wine, you enjoy the wine offered in America's most discriminating homes. For the best, serve Cresta Blanca. Shenley's Cresta Blanca Wine Company, Livermore, California. And now, Shenley brings you radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A. Roma Wines, for your everyday enjoyment.
And now, Roma Wines of Fresno, California, bring you Mr. Edmund O'Brien in the Argyle Album, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Shenley by William Spear.
That's S-U-S-P-E-N-S-E on your R-A-D-I-O. Okay? Here's a 1948 suspense opening from Autolite, and you can see what I mean about the jarring change of tone. The father in this spot is known for introducing the subject of Autolite's stay-full batteries at every possible opportunity, which, as you'll see, is why his son flees to the garage and his wife has women over for bridge.
In just a moment, Suspense, starring Charles Laughton.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Dad.
You're working kind of late on your bicycle, aren't you?
Yeah, the old bike hasn't been getting going just right. Boy, did I puff up 2nd Street this morning.
Just like the car, Billy, till I had that new Autolite stay-full battery put in. Well, my boy, you just keep at it. I'm going in and coast along with Autolite batteries, spark plugs, and ignition systems on the Suspense Show.
Dad, if you want to listen to the Autolite Show, you'd better stay out here in the garage with me.
Why?
Mom's got her bridge club in tonight.
What? Why, yep. She doggone well knows I want to hear Charles Laughton. By all the drinks my stay-full battery doesn't eat, I...
Take it easy, Dad. Here comes Charles Laughton.
Take it easy, Dad. Here comes Charles Laughton. That's my favorite catchphrase of the week.
Suspense.
Recognize him?
Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Mr. Charles Laughton in Anton Leder's production of An Honest Man, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
The announcers for Suspense were Truman Bradley, Ken Niles, Frank Martin, and Harlow Wilcox, and which of those four fine gentlemen was the guy you heard, I don't know. I do know that I heard that voice, and I heard that particular style of music, that grimly urgent, dramatic, black-and-white music that I always associate with monster movies from the 50s that I watched on Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. I associate that music with that voice. He was always the radio announcer or the narrator for the film. In any case, there's a taste of Autolite era. Let's conclude now with the peculiar piece of music that ended Suspense in the late 40s, the Suspense March. I have no idea why they used it. Perhaps they just used it to fill up time or give people a chance to get up from the radio and use the bathroom before the news started. Here then, the Suspense March, which is sort of an LAPD on parade, pseudo-dragnet kind of music, the appeal of which truly escapes me.
Stay tuned for 5 minutes of CBS News to be followed on most of these same stations by My Son Jeep. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network. We'll be right back.
almost impossible to believe that anybody could look forward to playing this piece of music. The instructions to the orchestra must have been just bang it out and get it over with, which we've done now. This concludes the inaugural Diner, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I doubt you've learned anything, but if nothing else, we've spent an enjoyable 17 minutes together in lieu of a bleat, no? So, I'll leave as I came in with Study in Brown, one of my favorite songs, and one that sort of mirrors my own writing. It bounces and clicks along, and the melody just sort of repeats itself over and over and over again. No doubt that's why I like it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.